بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين صدق الله العلي العظيم اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين respected elders dear brothers and sisters my young friends dear visitors السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته we begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we begin by thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of His blessings that He has bestowed upon us for indeed if we even tried to enumerate and to count all the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would not be able to do that. Allah tells us in the Qur'an, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا So if you want to enumerate and count all of the blessings that Allah has given us and bestowed upon us, we would not be able to count and grasp all of them. And we also begin by sending peace and salutations upon His beloved Messenger and final Messenger, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was sent as a mercy to all of the creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as I just recited, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ And we have not sent you, meaning O Muhammad, except as a mercy to the worlds. Not just to the Muslims, not just to the human beings, not just to the living beings, but rather to everyone, to all of the creation and the mercy and the worlds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And we thank Allah for the greatest blessing of all, which is that He made us from among the followers of this final messenger and this final messenger of mercy. My dear brothers and sisters, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived a complete life of mercy and kindness towards all. He was extremely kind. He was extremely kind and extremely loving towards the believers. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Qur'an, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ Surely there has come to you from your midst a messenger. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ who feels it very hard on him. If you face a hardship, مَا عَلِبْتُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَلِبْتُمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ who is very anxious for your welfare. A messenger who feels it very hard on him if you face hardship. حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ who is very anxious for your welfare بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ And for the believers, he is very kind and very merciful. So the Prophet ﷺ was very kind, very merciful, you know, very concerned about the believers and he would get anxious, it would be very difficult for him to see the believers go through hardship. But even with those who caused him trouble, those who hated him, those who were his enemies, those who hated Islam and the Muslims and who wanted to cause trouble and bring upon pain and suffering for the Muslims, and especially for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How was he? He was forbearing. He was forbearing, he was tolerant. There was a time when the Prophet ﷺ was asked by someone. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu relates that قِيلَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أُدُعْ لَلْمُشْرِكِينَ That it was said to the Prophet ﷺ, pray against the mushrikeen. Pray against, or you know, send curses upon the idolaters of that time. Because these were people who were causing trouble. And these were people who were inflicting pain and suffering and hardship upon the Prophet ﷺ, upon the believers. But how did the Prophet of Mercy ﷺ respond? Did he respond by sending a tirade of curses and ill wishes against those who were causing trouble? No, he did not. He responded with the words of kindness and mercy and he said, إِنِّي لَمْ أُبْعَثْ لَعَانًا وَإِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ رَحْمًا He said that, "I have not been sent to curse people. That is not why I have been sent. I have not been sent to curse people and to send ill wishes and make negative prayers against people, but rather I have been sent as a mercy to all of mankind. But rather I have been sent as a mercy to all of mankind." So the Prophet ﷺ never cursed people who caused him pain and caused him suffering, or who were troubling him. That was not his approach, that was not his part of his characteristics and his qualities. Once Aisha radiallahu anha, wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she asked him, "O Messenger of Allah, was there any day, more difficult to you than the day of the Battle of Uhud?" On the day of the Battle of Uhud, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was wounded. He had blood coming from his blessed face, his teeth were dislodged, and even an arrow came and hit him. So much of that happened, and much happened on that day of Uhud. So this was known as a very difficult day. This was a very hard day. So Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asked him, "Was there any day more difficult to you than the day of the Battle of Uhud?" And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded, he said, "Yes, the day of Ta'if. The day of Ta'if was worse for me than the day of Uhud. That was the most difficult point of my life." So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as you may have heard in the past, had went to preach to the people of Ta'if, because the people of Mecca were not responding to the call towards Islam. And he went, and remember, I should point out that he did not have any means of conveyance. He did not have any transportation. And the distance is approximately 80 to 90 kilometers from Mecca to Ta'if. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked that distance. And if you look at the satellite images, or if you've been there, you know it's rocky terrain. It's very difficult to walk, especially on that type of terrain. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went. And he was carrying out his mission. He kindly instructed the people, educated them about Islam, invited them towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they did not respond well. And they fought him off and they chased him away. He wasn't fighting, but they chased him away, throwing rocks at them and hurling curses and bad words towards him. So this was a very difficult time for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His sandals, his feet bleeding, his sandals tucked to his feet. In this situation, the angel of the mountains called. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the angel of the mountains called and greeted me and then said, "O Muhammad, order what you wish. If you like, I will cause the two mountains to fall upon them." Because the city of Ta'if is surrounded by mountains. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, and responded, "No. No, for I hope that Allah will bring forth from their progeny." Not even from them, but maybe from their progeny. From the future generations, people who will worship Allah alone and none besides Him. So this was the mercy and the optimism that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. If we were in that situation, how would we have responded? If we had that opportunity, forget about those terrible circumstances he went through. But anything, someone cuts us off while we're driving. Somebody butts into line in front of us. Somebody steals something from us. Somebody insults us or uses bad words or throws a racial slur at us or does something, cheats us. How do we respond? If we had the opportunity, if you knew if it was okay to do whatever we could, what would we do? What option would we take? So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after going through so much hardship and trouble, had the opportunity to have the people destroyed. And this would have happened, but he did not. Because he was optimistic, he was merciful, he was kind. He said, okay, if it's not these people who will believe, then perhaps their progeny, their future generations, maybe someone from later on will understand and will worship Allah alone and none besides Him. And so it happened. From among them, well of course they're Muslims now, but from among them came a youth of 17 years old, Muhammad bin Qasim, who became the source who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used as the one who would take the message of Islam to South Asia. So all the Muslims that we see now in India, in Pakistan, in Bangladesh, in that whole area, who brought Islam there? It was one from the progeny of the people of Ta'if, who the Prophet ﷺ did not want destroyed. With that hope, and he was the one, 17 years old, who went and led the Muslims and brought Islam to that region. And it's very revealing if you look at the history of what happened when Muhammad bin Qasim and the Muslims went there. Because this was, of course there was a battle, and the people who were living there were idol worshippers, they were Hindus, they were Buddhists. But it is said that there was no mass conversions attempted. No mass conversions were attempted, even though the people were worshipping idols. They were not from the people of the book, they were not worshipping one Allah. And the destruction of the temples was forbidden. The destruction of the temples was forbidden as well. And the academics write that as a rule, the Muslim government was at once tolerant and economic. So the Muslims allowed the people to continue their normal life and allowed them to continue with their worship and their practice of their religion and whatever they were doing. And in fact, it is said that the Hindus and Buddhists were inducted into the administration of Muhammad bin Qasim as trusted advisors and governors. They were made to be part of the system. They were not excluded. They were part of the government. And today, like I said, we know that many from amongst us and many people in the Muslim world come from that region. So this is, and this is a great lesson for us. There's a great lesson for us that we are the followers of the Prophet of Mercy, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us in a situation where we find ourselves in this part of the world. And we are here, and if you look at the statistics, which were recently released by Statistics Canada, the Muslim population in this country now is 1 million. There are 1 million Muslims in Canada, and that's 3.2% of the population. Okay, because there's 32 million inhabitants of Canada. So 3.2% of the population. And we are here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us. Wherever Allah puts us, whatever Allah decides for us, there is a reason for that. There is nothing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does without a reason. There is nothing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does, you know, for no purpose at all. So there is a reason why Allah has put us here. There is a reason why we are in the city. There is a reason why we are in this country. And if you look at what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, if you look at the example that he has set for us, it is that we are here to educate people, to distribute, convey mercy, because this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. You know, but it happens sometimes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows better than us. He is the wise, He is the knowledgeable. We are human beings, and we know the example and the teachings tell us that mercy should be at our core. That mercy should be at our core, we should be true embodiments of mercy. But we are human beings. When we get angry, we get upset over something, we let our emotions rule our actions. And this is not just specific to the Muslims. Right? Most human beings, many human beings are like this. That when we get angry, we get upset over something, we let our emotions take over and we let our emotions rule. And in our case, what happens? We see many injustices around the world. We can go on with the list of places where the Muslims are suffering. We see many wrongs. We see things which are incorrect. We see things which we understand to be unjust. We see double standards, you name it. If you want to complain, if you want to list the problems facing the Ummah, facing the Muslims, well, whoever we blame for it, there is a long list of issues that we can go through. So we get upset, and rightfully so. We are concerned, we get upset, and there's nothing wrong with that. But what happens? We end up acting unjustly anyway. We let that emotion of concern, of anger, take over, and we end up acting unjustly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us very clearly in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا O you who believe, كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ Stand out firmly for justice. Firmly. Stand out. Be the people of justice. Stand out firmly for justice. شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ As witnesses to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. all of our actions, all of our words, all of our deeds. So be just and know that you are witnesses in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوِ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ. Even though it be against yourselves or your parents or your kin. Be fair, be just. Even if it is against yourselves. Even if it is against yourselves. This is very profound. Even against myself. Even if it's against our people, my community, my brothers and sisters, be fair and be just. Or your parents. We know how much love and respect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us for our parents. But when it comes to being just and being fair, even if it is against our parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command is very clear. Or your kin, if it's your relatives. Or the rich or the poor. Allah says, Allahu awla bihima. Allah is a better protector to both of you. So just because someone is rich, don't change your testimony and your attitude towards them. And sway away from the truth. Or just because someone is poor and you feel bad for them, don't sway away from that which is right and that which is just. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the better protector to both. You don't need to play these games in order to protect people or to appease people. So be straight, be fair, be just. Allah says then, so He says, إِن يَكُنْ غَنِيًّا أَوْ فَقِيرًا فَاللَّهُ أَوْلَى بِهِمَا. Meaning if be rich or poor, Allah is the better protector. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تَتَّبِعُ الْهَوَىٰ أَن تَعْجِلُ. So follow not your lusts. Follow not your desires, lest you avoid justice. If you end up following your desires and your whims, the things that you feel like doing, when it comes to justice, if you don't feel like being just, then you're not. And when you feel like it, you are. Then you're going to end up. If you follow your desires, you're going to end up losing the way of justice. You're not going to be just if you follow your desires. So cast away your desires, cast away your emotions. Look at issues objectively. Look at them fairly. And then be just and be fair with people. In dealings, in matters and issues that confront us. So we must be very, very careful about every action, every response. That yes, there may be grievances. And there are. And they may be justified. And they are. But our response to those must be justified as well. Our response to those must be fair as well. Our response to those must be that which is correct and which is fair in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes what happens when we are angry and we are upset, we write people off. We're very quick to do that. As human beings, as Muslims as well. We are quick to write people off. Thinking that they're so evil, they're so corrupt, they're so bad that they're not deserving of any goodness. They can never be guided, they can never be recipients of Allah's mercy. And this is very, very dangerous, my dear brothers and sisters. Okay, to write people off is not our responsibility, it's not our job. Our job is to wish well for everyone. To want everyone to be saved. To want everyone to be protected from the sin that they are committing. We want everyone to be protected from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning we want everyone to be good. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described a situation. And the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam haddatha anna rajulan qala wallahi la yaghfiru Allah li fulan. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described, he said that a man once said, by Allah, Allah will not forgive so and so. A person once said, this is very dangerous, very careful. You should be very careful about this matter. A person once said, by Allah, Allah will not forgive so and so. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَىٰ قَالَ مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَتَأَلَّىٰ عَلَيَّ أَلَّا أَغْفِرَ لِفُلَانٍ. Allah the Almighty says, who is he who swears by me that I will not forgive so and so? Who is he? Who does he think he is? Who swears by me that I will not forgive so and so? فَإِنِّي قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لِفُلَانٍ وَأَحْبَتْتُ عَمَلَكَ أو كَمَا قَالَ. Verily I have forgiven so and so and have nullified your own good deeds. Or as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So to have this attitude where we write people off, where we are judgmental about people, even if they may be causing trouble for us, even if they may exhibit some hatred towards Islam, towards Muslims, towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's not the correct attitude. Our attitude should be one of wanting guidance for everyone. If someone is ignorant and is swimming in hatred, we want them to be plucked out of that hatred. You don't want evil for them. You don't want evil and harm for anyone. We want people to be safe from that danger and that poison that they're swimming in. And an example that we find recently is that of a man named Arnoud Van Doorn. You might have heard of this. He's a Dutch politician. A Dutch politician, one of the producers of the blasphemous anti-Islam film, which was, you know, very negative towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have heard about this film. It's called Fitna. Came out a few years ago. And there was a huge outcry, you know, a huge outrage amongst the Muslims, rightfully so, right, regarding this. Of course, there were instances where people went overboard and started acting unjustly, which is what I was referring to earlier. So this was, here was this person who was a member of the right-wing extremist party, anti-immigration, anti-Muslim, anti-Islam, causing trouble for people, you know, spreading hatred against Islam, against the Muslims, against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In February of this year, on Twitter, he posted the shahada, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh." Now, when people saw that, first of all, he was joking around, because they were used to him, you know, causing trouble. So he said, okay, maybe he's causing some trouble again. But then, just in April, he went for Umrah. He went for Umrah, he performed his Umrah. He went to Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, I went to the Rawda, I went and presented myself in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he was buried. And he said, I went there to say sorry. I went there to say sorry to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for all the harm that I had caused and all the pain and suffering that I had inflicted upon him and the Muslims and against Islam. And he went there and he went to say sorry. He said it and he made a pledge that from now on he's going to use every opportunity and every effort to do the reverse, to spread the goodness, spread the true teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in fact, he's actually producing another movie now. He's producing another movie, and this time it's supposed to be positive. Now people may question that, okay, why is he doing this? Maybe he's, you know, okay, we don't know what's inside people's hearts. We go by what is apparent. We go by what is apparent. If a person says that, yes, I seek repentance for what I have done, I am sorry for what I did, and now I will try my best to do what is right, we take that like that, face value. We accept that. Because we don't know what is inside people's hearts. Unless we see something which is very glaringly apparent, which goes against what they are saying. But otherwise, we don't question people's motives, we don't question people's actions. And he said, and this is also very interesting, he said that the global outrage against the film which he had produced or co-produced actually got him to think about it a bit more. He thought to himself, why are there so many people who are upset about this one person? Why are so many people upset and angry that I have said such things about this Prophet of theirs, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He says that I'm a fair person, I'm not one who just follows things, I like to do my own research and study and read. And he says, I did that, and I found that actually this was the truth. I did that research, and I found that this was the truth. And once I know the truth, then I can't deny it. Once I know that I have, that this is glaringly, the truth is staring at me, then I can't deny it. I have no option, I have to accept it. So he accepted. Now he's a regional advisor for The Hague, for the city, and he has written to the mayor, asking for time and a place to offer his prayers while he is at work. So this is really a remarkable example where you have someone who was at the forefront of causing harm and causing trouble for the Muslims against Islam, against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we see a complete reversal. So the point of sharing this story is that if we ever find ourselves in a situation where we are troubled, where we are harassed, where there are people who are causing us trouble, and there are. There are people who have an agenda, there are people who hate Islam, there are people who hate Muslims, there are people who are getting alarmed, I'm sure, when they find out that the number of Muslims has increased to 1 million. Okay, so there are people like that. Okay, meaning in the country. There are definitely people like that. But what should be our approach and our attitude? When somebody tries to provoke us, when somebody tries to cause trouble, when somebody tries to get a reaction out of us, respond in the right way. Respond the way the Prophet ﷺ would have responded. Respond in a better way. So we are always to be the people of mercy. So in this climate of fear that we are living in, this climate of fear and mistrust, people look at their country, this is our country as well, but they may have been longer, here longer slightly, although the first Muslim to arrive in Canada came 13 years before Confederation. The first Muslims to come to Canada came 13 years before Confederation. And the first Muslim child that was born in this land, was that's recorded to have been born in this land, was James Love Jr. Okay, the child of a Scottish bride. Okay, you should know this, so if somebody tries to mess with you, you can give them this information. Okay, you should know the history of the country and know the history of the Muslims here as well. The Muslims have been here since 13 years before the country was actually formed. 13 years before Confederation. The mid-1800s. Okay, this is the issue. So from that time to 1 million now, yes. No, over so many years. Over 150 years. Right? This is where we are now. But there is that climate where people are afraid. And they think, okay, there's 1 million Muslims now in Canada. They're trying to take over the country. They're trying to impose Sharia law. Right? I've had these discussions with people because we like to interact and deal with, you know, and they have genuine questions. They don't know. They really don't know. And I asked them the question, I said, there's only 1 million Muslims. Why would I want Sharia law for all the people who are not Muslims? It doesn't make any sense. I have better things to worry about. I've got to worry about my community. I've got to worry about my family, my children. Right? That's not why I'm here. Right? So we have to have this interaction that people are afraid. People are afraid and they're looking at these figures and these statistics. And of course the media sensationalizes it too. So there's so many findings in the report which was released. But the top headline has to be what? Muslims are the fastest growing group, right, religious group in the country. At 3.2% by the way. Okay? So yes, there is sensationalism, right? And there is that fear that is played upon. But our job is to behave the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have behaved. Our job is to behave in the best way possible and take this opportunity. Really, it's an opportunity. Right? The saying is that there's no publicity is bad publicity. So you're getting all this attention, this is an opportunity to wrestle the agenda and say, okay, that no, we're not going to let this distort our faith. We're not going to let this fear overtake us and our country and our relationships with our fellow neighbors and our fellow citizens. We take this opportunity to educate people and to make our fellow citizens recipients of mercy. Because the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ are very clear. Where he said, "Ar-Rahimuna yarhamuhum ar-Rahman." Those who show mercy to others, the Rahman, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful, will show mercy to them. يَرْحَمُوا مَن فِي الْأَرْضِ يَرْحَمْكُمْ مَن فِي السَّمَاءِ. So show mercy to those on the earth, and the one in the heaven will show mercy to you. So this is a clear teaching for all of us, for all the believers. The Prophet ﷺ also says, Allah will not show mercy to those who do not show mercy to others. So let's show the true character, goodness, kindness that our faith teaches us. The 1 million Muslims should mean 1 million people of kindness and mercy. 1 million Muslims should mean 1 million people radiating kindness and mercy from themselves. And be proud of your identity as Muslims and as Canadians. And as I often teach our children when I'm teaching classes, there's no contradiction. And we talked about that in the past. There's no problem. There's no contradiction. You be a good Muslim, you be a proud Muslim, you be a good Canadian, you be a proud Canadian. There's nothing wrong with either. And having both at the same time. Okay, I consider myself to be a Canadian. I don't have a passport for any other country. I haven't lived anywhere else. Only been out of the country for maybe a month or so maximum. This is home. This is home. This is where I live. This is my place. This is my country. The problems that we see in society are my problems. I may not have caused them, but it's my people. It's my community. It's my country. It's my citizens. My fellow citizens. My neighbors. I have to think proactively, what can I do to solve these? How can I be part of the solution, not be part of the problem? Right? How can I be part of the solution? How can I make things better? So be proud of your identity as Muslims in this community. You have nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing to be embarrassed about. As I've said before, it's not a crime to be a Muslim. Not yet, right? They usually say, and then you laugh after that. Right? So you have nothing to be ashamed about, you have nothing to be embarrassed about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us clearly in the Quran, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And who is better in speech than he who calls towards Allah, works righteously, and says, verily I am one of the Muslims. Yes, I am one of the Muslims. And there's nothing to be afraid of. So stand up as Muslims. The nothing to be afraid of part is not part of the ayah. So stand up as Muslims who are merciful, who are just, who are not afraid or embarrassed of being the believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His final messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Spread mercy, spread kindness, educate people, live a life of honesty and truthfulness, truly become an embodiment of the true teachings of Islam. And speaking of mercy, the month of Ramadan is only 2 months away. Time flies. 2 months away. 8 weeks away approximately. So this is a good time to start planning. This is a good time to start planning your vacation so you can get maximum time off during the month of Ramadan. Getting your medical checkups if you have health issues to ensure that you're able to fast during the month of Ramadan. Getting your body used to fasting because the fasts, of course, are going to be very long. On the first day, suhoor, Fajr time starts at 3:43 a.m. on the first day of fasting. Fajr is at 3:43 a.m. and sunset is around 9 o'clock, 8:55 p.m. Okay? So let's start getting accustomed, get training yourself so that our bodies can adjust to that, inshallah. Speaking of growing numbers, growing community, mashallah, this community, of course, is growing as well. And those who have been here a long time can attest to that, right? That, mashallah, the masjid is getting full. And that means the community is growing, the demands, the needs are growing, and therefore the demands on the masjid, on the organization, are also growing. So we kindly encourage you, my brothers and sisters, to please, you know, keep that in mind. Continue your contributions. If you haven't already done so, I encourage you to fill out a form to donate monthly. And the forms will be given out, inshallah, for the prayer. You can also do that online. You can sign up through PayPal. It's very simple. It takes 2 minutes. And it will be deducted from your account or charged to your credit card every month. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all a true embodiment of mercy and the true teachings of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a source of goodness. And a source of mercy and guidance to all, and especially towards those whose hearts are full of misunderstanding and hate. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them from that. May Allah pluck them from the ignorance and the misunderstanding and the hatred. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease the suffering of all our fellow human beings all around the world, and especially our brothers and sisters in so many parts of the world. As I was saying, you can go through the whole list, and it's long, you know, in Burma, in Syria, in Palestine, in Somalia, Afghanistan, Iraq, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Pakistan, you know, all these issues we see, they're having elections in Pakistan. And you know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make that a source of betterment. Because these are things which are not in the headlines every day, but you know, there are problems all around. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, make the leaders of the Muslims and all the leaders around the world a source of goodness, who those who make the right decisions based on justice and based on compassion. And one of those people who was trying to do that, possibly, may Allah help him, in Pakistan, familiar name, Imam Khan, he got hurt. He's one of the leaders. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, cure him as well, and bring about whoever is best. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is our dua. Good general dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring, as the leaders of the Muslims and all of us, whoever is best for us. And whoever is best for humanity and whoever is best for the affairs of the Muslims. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. Ameen.